Welcome to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Your host, Carl Nordgren, will teach you how to take an expansive view on what it means to be creative and entrepreneurial. Carl is an entrepreneur, novelist, and a lifelong student. For 20 years, he has been learning how to help folks grow their creative capacities. Now, here's Carl.
Hello and welcome. This is Carl Nordgren. You're listening to 97.9 The Hill, the best radio station in North Carolina. I think it's now 6 years in a row. I've got to update that. I was almost ready to say 5 years in a row. I think they've done it again. 6 years in a row, the very best radio station in the state. This is the show Exploring Your Creative Genius that believes that creativity is so important, so fundamentally important in our lives, that I refuse to define it. I want you to come up with your own multifaceted, dynamic, situationally intelligent understanding of what it means to be creative. And I help you do that by giving you lots of different perspectives so you can construct your own understanding. One of the ways I give you lots of perspectives is by having guests on the show where they can talk about their sense of creativity. And we have a guest today. It's Mike Gerritsen. Mike is a really interesting fellow that I've met just in the last couple of weeks. He's out in Kansas. By the way, folks, it's been determined that Kansas is actually flatter than a pancake. And Mike lives pretty much right in the middle of it in Salina. Mike was a career school teacher. I think one of his longest stints was as a sixth grade teacher. And boy, the most impactful teacher I ever had was a sixth grade teacher. And he's been a coach, a baseball coach. He's quite a successful baseball player himself. He's coached baseball on a number of levels. Thank you so much, Mike, for being a guest of the show, and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Carl. I'm looking forward to our chat today, and let's get her going.
Let's get her going. Well, one of the first things I always do with my guests, Mike, regardless of what else we're going to talk about eventually, is I always wanted to start off on this topic of creativity and have them share some of their ideas, some of their tips, some of their experiences, you know, some aspect of their creative life. We'd love to hear you talk about creativity here for a moment.
Okay. Well, for me, it started at the dinner table because I was a middle child of a big family. There were six of us, three girls and three boys.
Oh, perfect.
My mom and dad went girl, boy, girl, boy, girl, boy.
Oh, wow.
I don't know how they pulled that off. But there were six of us, and every night at the dinner table, I don't think dad ever said much, but the rest of us were really getting our stories in. And it just became a time of entertainment and creativity, like you say. Mom was kind of the fact checker and the current event provider, and then the rest of us would chip in, and when it was your turn to speak, you better be ready to go, and you better bring it, because it felt like the judges were going to hold up their scorecard at the end of your story. But it was great. You know, it was that we had that, it just, you know, we sat around the table every night, seemed like, and we told stories. And then when we had family reunions, we told stories. And I've really tried to continue that with my, now that I've got grandkids. And one of my favorite things to do is anytime we're together, and we'll be together soon for Thanksgiving, I like to go around the table and have the aunts and uncles tell, I'll give them questions and situations that they can answer so that their nieces and nephews get to learn all about them. That's the kind of creative side of me. I'm always kind of, I guess, thinking about, you know, your family relationships and what makes you tick. Right. And certainly one of the things, and we'll get into this a little later, but you find out, you know, there's kids that growing up the same time you are, and their family is way different than yours. I had the pleasure, like you said, of teaching middle schoolers. Now, I was a seventh grade teacher mostly, but I would see these things take place in my room. You know, I'd see the amazement on kids' faces when they heard things from other kids, and they'd be like, "Really? What? That's the way your family operates," or whatever it was. You know, and it was always fun to watch those life experiences when they get shared, to watch reactions of their audiences.
Well, there's so much goodness that happens when families have the tradition of swapping stories, sharing family stories. I love to hear that that was a big part of your family growing up.
Yeah, it really is. And doggone, you know, we had Veterans Day just the other day, and I have just a very few stories. I have two grandpas that were in World War II, and I don't have near enough info. I didn't ask them near enough questions. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I just have limited information. Right. And so that'd be my, you know, to people my age, I would tell them, hey, make sure you tell your grandkids, you know, how tough it was when you had to go home and watch Gilligan's Island after school every day, you know.
Yeah, well, hit there that one only, more time.
There was only three channels, Carl. We had it rough.
Well, let's hit that one more time. We've got another minute or two before this segment ends. So hit that. You know, tell us a little bit more about story and family and how that resonated with you and resonates
well,
with you.
I think I enjoyed listening to my brothers and sisters, but to tell you the truth, I couldn't wait till it was my turn. And I do. I like taking my turn. And that's why I enjoyed teaching so much. I taught social studies and language arts. And so you can do almost anything creative in those areas. And so it was fun to give the kids ideas about, you know, how to be creative within those parameters. Just the other day, you know, it was the 50th anniversary of the Edmund Fitzgerald. And we used to do a lot, you know, instead of just learning what the names of the Great Lakes are, we'd learn all about that song and that ship, and it was ballads are a wonderful way to learn history.
Yes,
and love listening to ballads with students. That's I'm not musical, but I enjoy it, and I think it's a great way to bring about more creativity in your students and in your surroundings. And so, I think that was kind of my kickstart that made me, you know, want to be creative. And then, and I also liked sports. And as a young kid, when I was in high school, I would write for the high school paper, and then the local town paper, they'd give me a few bucks to go cover, basketball games. And, that was my start in real writing. That's when I got my first paycheck. I went and bought a pair of hiking boots.
You got your first paycheck covering that. Basketball. That's cool.
Yes,
that's
I did.
Cool.
Yep, covering girls basketball.
Wonderful. Yep. Well, we're going to hear more about Mike's writing when we come back from the break, folks. And so come on back after these wonderful commercials from our community partners.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back. Thanks for coming on back, folks. I have a guest today. If you listen to the first segment, you listen to Mike Gerritsen talk about his career as a school teacher, a seventh grade school teacher out there in Kansas, and about how growing up in a family of six children, there were all these wonderful stories being told around the table. And boy, you really had to bring your A game if you were going to hold on to the proverbial microphone at his dinner table, it sounds like. And so Mike became a very good storyteller. So it shouldn't surprise us at all, folks, that that's what he's doing now. Now he is a storyteller in the guise of an author. And his most recent book is a book that I'm just really digging, is a book called Lucky Duck. I'm going to read a couple of quotes that I pulled off the Amazon website from some readers of his, and then we're going to have Mike talk to you about Lucky Duck. One reader said, "This is a great lighthearted read," and this is me now talking. It sure is the right time for lighthearted reads. Our, you know, the state of our world right now, we need lighthearted reads. So The reviewer says, this is a great lighthearted read that was fun throughout and very reminiscent of the 80s that I grew up in. I know Mike's going to want to talk about that particular aspect of it. And another reviewer said, it's compelling, funny, and refreshing, with more plot twists and turns than I saw coming. The book moves, and I really enjoyed it. That when they said the book moves, man, that's always important to me in my writing. I want this wonderful energy going forward. So, Mike, tell us a little bit about Lucky Duck. Where'd the idea come from? The opening is so compelling. I hope at some point you're going to tell us a little bit about that as well. So take it away, Mike.
Well, thank you, Carl, and thanks for picking those reviews out. Those are great. One of those, I don't know if I'd heard. Okay, yeah, the name of the book is Lucky Duck, and then it has a subtitle, At the Mall in the 80s with a Dog. That's kind of a play on the old Clue game, you know, in the conservatory with the candlestick, you know, right. Mrs. Plum or whoever.
Right.
But, yeah, and it's an 80s. I wanted to set it in the 80s, and I did set it in my town here. That was when I first started writing it. It was going to be in a fictional place, you know, and everything was fictional. And then I don't know. I read some stuff that other writers write about. I think it was actually in Stephen King's book on writing. He's like, hey, you put it wherever you want to. You know, you know the lay of the land where you are. If you want to put it there, put it there. And so I did, and. A lot of it takes place in the mall. The mall is kind of a character in the story, actually, because you guys, I mean, if you remember the 80s and early 90s, the mall was, you know, it was your coffee shop. It was your meeting place. You go buy a cassette tape and you go watch a movie and you meet your friends. And the mall was, you know, it was a big social hangout. And so that's kind of, you know, where I wanted to sit. And really, one of the things that happens in the main thing that happens in the book, it actually happens in the middle. But I tell you right away on page one, I say, hey, I robbed a bank. I got away with it. It really wasn't even that hard. Now, our character's name is Joel. And Joel needed a lot of luck in the aftermath. And that's how, you know, one day his dad, they're out fishing, and his dad says, oh, you're such a lucky duck. Well, his dad doesn't know the half of it because of what he's just been through. He truly is a lucky duck. That's, you know, that's a little bit of the setup on it is that, you know, I never knew when I first got done with the book, I'm like, gosh, do I tell people that he robs a bank? Well, he says on page one, I robbed the bank and I got away with it. So I'm like, might as well just spill the beans. You know, one of my publishers, she was like, yeah, just tell them.
Yep.
He robbed a bank. It's pretty obvious. Once they start reading, they'll be okay with it. So, and yeah, I did want it to be, it's lighthearted and there's a, you know, there's some tense moments, but and the goal is I do when I write a story, I do want it to move. I'm not too big on description and background. I like the plot to move.
Yeah.
I want people to be in high gear.
Well, the challenge of writing something that's humorous is a challenge I've never taken on. I like to think that maybe I'm funny in the moment, but I have never been successful at plotting out my humor. So is there any insight that you've got about how you were able to get a good humorous tone to the book?
I think it's just because, you know, he's just out of college, okay? And he was a college basketball player that rode the bench for a small college team that really wasn't very good. So you got some pretty good humor set up right there, you know. you know, I mean, people could be pretty hard on him, you know.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, you went to a school so that you could play basketball, but you didn't get on the court much. And by the way, your team didn't hardly win any games. So, you know, it's kind of that you get a good setup there for some humor. And I just think, you know, that age, when you were that age – just the way you look at things, it's easy to kind of make fun of yourself and the other young people that you're with, and to look at situations in a funny way. The guys I hung out with in the dorm when I was in college, everything was a joke. I mean, we just made everything as funny as we could. Right. You know, we didn't have any money in our checking account, but, you know, that didn't stop us from having a good time.
Well, I haven't studied it, but I have some sense that the 80s and the early 90s, which is you've identified, it's got to be something like the peak mall years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I definitely think it was, you know, and now those are days gone by. And I have had good feedback from people who read the book that said, oh man, that just took me back. I loved going to the mall. It was just something that I miss it. Of course, then they turn around, they order something on Amazon, you know, but that's
put another shovel full of dirt on top of the mall.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, let's stay with the mall for just a second. I think you've told me, but I don't know that you shared with the audience. Where is that bank located that this gentleman robs?
The bank is in the mall.
It's
one of those banks that's right in the mall. Yes, and he comes up with this plan and. On Black Friday, 1987, he robs the bank.
Wow!
And then from that point forward, he's got to work himself out of some situations that he did not foresee.
So the novel begins with the announcement that he robbed the bank, and then the rest of the book helps us see how this occurred.
Yeah, I mean, you know right away that he robbed it, but then it's a while till he gets to actually rob it. Then once he, it's kind of, if it was a three-act play, it would be, you know, Joel's frustrations, okay, because he's not happy after he graduates from college. And in this one scene, he needs a part-time job, okay. Because basketball's over, he hasn't quite graduated yet, he needs a part-time job, and all the managers at the mall are like, I've got stacks of applications on my desk. Now,
let's stop right there for now for this segment, and we'll pick this back up, folks, when we come back from the third segment, as well as hearing about Mike's other books, so come on back, lots more to hear.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Thanks for coming back. I appreciate you coming back, folks, to Exploring Your Creative Genius with our guest, Mike Gerritsen, who's been telling us about his books. The first one that he was telling us about was Lucky Duck, which sounds so fun, like such a compelling read. Tell us a little bit more about that, Mike, and then we'll move on to your other books.
What? I guess I was saying if you kind of broke it down into three parts, it's Joel is very frustrated, and he just decides to do the most un-Joel thing in the world because he's always just been this nice average kid. And what nice average kid robs a bank? I mean, it's crazy, but he does it. And there's reasons why, and that all comes out, and you end up rooting for him, but anyway, then, you know, now he's got to get out of this situation, and so or does he? I don't know. You'll have to read to find out. But anyway, it's got a few twists in it that the readers have really liked. My demographic that I'm getting really great feedback from, Carl. I thought I was writing this for like a boomer like me, old guy that likes sports, and they do. But really, the ladies. Have given really good feedback on it too. They like it has a strong female character in it. She was Joel's girlfriend in high school, and she's just way too cool for Joel. she's too good for him.
Even though he's robbed a bank, does she know? Does she know that he's robbed a bank?
Well, she.
Don't spoil it.
She's not in the picture when he decides to do that.
Okay. Well, we do want to hear about your other two books because they sound so intriguing. I'm much more familiar with Lucky Duck, but Mike previously had written two books for middle school audiences, which makes sense with all of his time teaching middle school. There's a book called Eric the Great, a sports story, and then an alien story called Stand Still. Tell us about those two books, Mike.
Okay, I would love to. Okay, Eric the Great, it's a sports story, like you said, and a friendship story. These two buddies, one of them's the school star. You know, he's the quarterback and he's the high scorer on the basketball team. And then his buddy is this little guy. And this little guy, he's a good student and he tries hard in sports, but he's just too small. Well, what happens to him is he gets a weird tumor near his pituitary gland. And when they do surgery on him, they nick the pituitary gland and he grows to 8 feet, 1 inch tall as an eighth grader. And so now guess who the star of the basketball team is?
Of course.
And his buddy, who has always been the star, he has a really hard time with not being a star anymore. So that one's called Eric the Great. The other one is called Stand Still. And it's about this eighth grade boy. He's just sitting in English class one day listening. He looks around and everything seems to stop. And he looks around. Nothing is moving. The kid behind him that always drums on his desk isn't moving. The lights aren't flickering. Nothing. And then he looks and the alien taps him on the shoulder and says, "Hey, we need your help." And he's like, "What?" You know, so the alien and the boy, his name is Gavin, they become friends, basically. And then there's some historical fiction in it, because one day the alien comes down to Gavin's basement. He's like, "Hey, man, you just chilling?" He goes, why don't I show you some stuff from the past that's really interesting? And so there's some historical fiction in it and just a good story, kind of a just an alien story that junior high kids like. So.
And how long have they been out? They were out before Lucky Duck, is that?
Yeah, they've been out about a year.
Okay.
They've been out about a year. Yeah, I mean, I just retired. This is my second year being retired as a teacher. And I'd written Eric the Great quite some time ago and shared it with my students, and they all liked it, but it had never been published. So I went ahead and published it and Stand Still. And
so since your retirement, you've got three books out into the world. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. And I have finished another one that I'm shopping. So hopefully can get it out there too.
Another novel.
Yeah. It's another middle schooler one about these boys that like to sneak out at night. And they find a female pilot. They kind of become a team. They have some adventures.
Well, the wonderful child novelist Roald Dahl, he became very successful, of course, and at one point at a peak of his success, apparently he was asked, "Now that you're so successful, are you tempted to write novels now for adults?" And he said, "Well, wait a minute. When you write a novel for an adult, they read it and then they set it aside. But if you write a novel for a child, oh, it's part of their life, and they read it again, and they read it again and again." And I just was so captured by that picture of how children just get so into their stories when they found a story that speaks to them.
That's really cool. And you know what? In juvenile literature, I've read a lot of it because I taught the kids. You know, and I enjoy reading juvenile literature. Maybe that's why I have a little bit of a sense of humor, because I can still. You know, I can still laugh with the kids.
Well, folks, when this show is posted on the Chapelboro website on Wednesday, I will include the contact information, the links, rather, I guess, for you finding these books. I hope you take a look at them. Again, I don't know the second two books that Mike talked about, but Lucky Duck sure is a compelling, intriguing read. So thank you very much for being a guest today, Mike, and everybody, I hope you all have a wonderful week.
Thank you, Carl. I really enjoyed it, and I enjoy talking to my friends out there in the Tar Heel State.
Yay. Thank you all very much.
This has been Exploring Your Creative Genius on 97.9 The Hill. You can listen to other episodes on chapelboro.com.